you got your Bibles with you, we're going to be in, I wrote it up here, 1 John 2, 12 through 28. And we're talking about growing in the light. Yeah, I hit the button. So we've been talking about walking in the light. This is still to do with walking in the light. But while we're walking in the light, there's a growth that happens. Spiritually, we mature and go through stages of spiritual maturity. So that's kind of what we're going to go over today. So if you open up to that spot, and I'll go ahead and pray, I want to just read one thing from it. Actually, two verses. So verse 12 of 1 John 2 says, "I write to you, children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." And then the last verse of our section is verse 28 of chapter 2, 1 John. "And now, children, abide in him, that if he is manifested, we may have boldness and not be put to shame from before him at his coming." Okay, let's pray together. Lord, we worship you and thank you for this time. We want to set it apart to you. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us in your word and meet us. We pray as we're going over these things that really detailed help would come with all of our unique situations and things that are going on. Lord, we pray by your Spirit that you would use the word and apply it in a unique way to each one of us. And we pray we'd be able to have our hearts open to you and our minds sharp and clear and not filled with distractions, but that we'd have a free way to fellowship today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now with walking in the light, most of the time, like we mentioned yesterday, most of the time we find ourselves trying to come back into the light. So we need to know how to come into the light. And we need to know how to deal with our sins and bring them to the Lord and confess them and be washed clean by the precious blood. But when we're in the light, we actually are taking steps. And we're living moment by moment, hour by hour. Even though we falter, even though we mess up, if we keep our footsteps in the pathway of light, we find ourselves close to the Lord, fellowshipping with him. Even as we mess up, he picks us right back up and we keep on going. So this is our regular walk in the light. And one of the ways of knowing if you're walking in the light or not is you begin to discover that you can overcome sins. You can actually live by the life of Christ. You're not always coming back into Christ or back to fellowship with him, but you're experiencing him before you mess up. You're experiencing a real walk with him like that. All right, now, if that's happening, if we're in the light and we're coming back to him constantly, there is a growing that happens, and we want to look at those stages and some helpful things for how to go further. So to kind of do our outline of this little section over here, we're going to make a giant cheeseburger, actually. Yeah. So here's our top bun. This is a small cheeseburger? But have you ever had one that's, like, bigger than your mouth? Oh, you haven't? Okay. You can get them in some places. And you hold them like this, and you're like, ah, and you end up having to just nibble, like, half of it. So I'm using this because the way this section happens, it can be confusing. If you open up your Bibles, does anybody have subheadings in their Bible? Okay. It's pretty good if you don't have them. Sometimes they're helpful, and sometimes they're harmful. So who has a subheading in this within this section from verses 12 through 28? Are there a couple of subheadings? If so, what do you got? What's your Bible put as subheadings?
Verse 15 to verse 17, do not love the world.
Okay, not love the world. Is there another one after that? What happens after 17?
18 to 27 is warning against antichrist.
Yeah, and these subheadings they're true as far as some stuff that's said within it. But they can trick you. They can accidentally subheadings are great when you're searching for something and you're like, oh yeah, this is where it's at. But they're not always giving you the outline of the book. They're not always giving you the main point of what's being said. And the main point of this whole section, which includes the love not the world and includes the warning about Antichrist, the main point is growing from being a very baby Christian to being a father in the faith, a parent in the faith. So that's the whole thing. So actually, when we're looking at it, I want to just temporarily erase your subheadings. you don't have to cross out anything in your Bible, but in our mindset, we're going to use the cheeseburger outline instead just to try to understand it, and I'll explain why. At the beginning of this section, this is verse 12 right here, top bun. Verse 28 is the last one. Now, in each of these ones, right here, he says, I write to you, children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. And something we want to learn, we're just going to learn a couple of nerdy things with this section. Have we talked about this before? Has anybody ever talked about young... Yeah, go ahead. You have the cheeseburger? From where?
This was from last year during the Nest
Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, yeah. That's right. Where at? Here? In January, yeah. Okay, so good. Was anybody there and remember that? Do you remember that? Okay, good. So this time, so I can quickly go through this outline so that way we can get into the main part I want to look at. So the main part I want to look at is actually something of pushing us further into the next growth stage with each one of us. So right here, so you guys have heard of this with children, is that right? And the word for children, what's the word that you have on your outline there? Yeah. So what did you have, Philip?
In the outline?
Uh-huh.
I have 1 John 2:12, and then I have children, and I have the Greek.
You have the Greek word. Good. Okay, what's the Greek word?
Texia.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of this before?
Yeah.
We talked about it before. Some of us did. Okay. So anyway, this is this tech, and then the N's in Greek, of course, are V's, right? And then everything else kind of looks pretty similar. That looks like an A, right? Or like a fish. Anyway, tech, I'll write it in English, technia. But this word is for children, it's just for all kinds of ages of growth. It doesn't have to do with how mature you are. All of God's people are called children of God. So, for example, in chapter 2, verse 1, my children, I write these things to you in order that you may not sin. That's the same word. And every time in 1 John, whenever you see this word, it's this word right here. So same down here, this is our other technia guy. So I'm going to put here, technia. This is just everyone. I'm going to write everyone right here. Everyone. Okay, but the main point at the beginning is your sins are forgiven. And this is where all of us stay. No matter how mature you are, this is where you're always at. And the main part right here at the end is that you abide. So he says in verse 28, abide in him. That way, if he comes and you're right before him, you're not ashamed. So abide in him. All right, now in the first little section here, we have our stages of growth. I hope you guys are okay if I rush through this because I know like half of you we've talked about this before. But we haven't talked about something that I want to get to next. So Phil, it'll even be new for Philip and whoever. All right, in the stages of growth, this is verse 13, if you're with me. We have fathers. What else do we got? Anybody?
Young men.
Young men, and what else?
Children.
Young men and children again, right? Now, I'm going to put little children. It depends on your translation. Mine says little children. Some of them say little children up top. So either way, normally the translations reverse it. They'll make a little bit of a difference between these two. And that's because this one is different. It's paideon. Let's see. Here's our D, and then an I, and then an O. And then remember, the V's are N's in Greek. So we'll write it the other way. Paideon. Okay. This means little children that are different than young men, that are different than fathers. It has to do with your actual age. It has to do with your stage of growth. So this is different than children, your sins are forgiven, children, abide in him. This is specific to a brand new Christian, a baby Christian. All right, now there's a description when it says these stages of growth with verse 13. And the fathers, what's the description for the fathers, if you have your Bible open? You got fathers have what?
Known him who is...
Now, who would that be? God's definitely from the beginning, but who would this specifically be as far as the person of the Godhead? Father, Son, Spirit, which one, you think?
Father.
Reason I ask is because with little children, what's the description? You've known.
You know the Father.
The Father, okay. Now, of course, every Christian would know God and so on. There's a reason of the difference of description. With a brand new young Christian, their experience of God is God the Father. Whether they use the term or not, it's the parental shepherding way. And once you're born again, the spirit of the sonship or spirit of the son is within us and we cry out, Abba, Father. Like it says, it actually says this in Romans 8:15 and Galatians 4:6. Okay, so this is the Abba. You guys know this word? Sounds familiar? Abba. Abba, Father. Okay. But here, known him who is from the beginning. Remember in 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning. Uses the same phrase. And as he goes on to describe this eternal life that was from the beginning, you realize he's talking about Jesus. Because this one who was from the beginning was manifested and was alive. And they saw him and they touched him and they heard him. And so this is especially talking about Christ. Now, as a father in the faith, there has been one of the main marks of a father is that they've had experience walking with the Lord over time. And the more and more they've experienced, they've come to know the Lord Jesus in a deeper and deeper way. So something with the fathers is they want to know him more, but they have known him. They continue, they've been walking and they have this experience. It's the main mark with the father. When you see one, they have these, it's not to do as much with years, but as much with time spent abiding in him. Time spent with the life of Christ living through them. So especially the knowing is the intimate life of Christ living through them. That's why they've known him who's from the beginning. That's why the focus is on Christ, because this is the closer, more intimate knowledge than the knowledge of the relationship with the Father. The Father is more, he's caring for you, helping you, bringing you along. But with Christ, it's more like he's living inside of you and he's living through you and you know him the closest possible. Okay, and with young men, what's their description? Yep, they're strong and they overcome the evil one, right? And they overcome the evil one. Who'd you call the evil one? Yeah, that's right. Okay, now young men probably really are in their 20s, 30s, as far as physically when we're talking, because, or maybe late teenage years when we're thinking in with physical reality, because of the, in the Bible, it has to do with being war, battle ready. So whatever spot you're fully grown with all of your complete amount of muscles, I mean, some of you guys have already reached it, I can tell. You got like all your muscles ready for battle, right? We could send you into war. But usually, I mean, this guy right here, okay, yeah. But let's imagine, give you 5 more years, you might even be taller and stronger and handsomer. So when you reach that spot, people call it a young man. Even I'm still in the young man stage, although it looks like I'm in the father stage. Something happened. Some people enter the father stage a little earlier than others. But basically, in this younger age, there is physical strength when we're talking about physically. And here it's a spiritual thing. So they're not baby Christians. They are strong and they've overcome the evil one. So they've learned to overcome at least to a certain measure. And how would you overcome the evil one? It's actually to do with his the evil one's specific attack. Does anybody know? Because I think I mentioned this before when we talked about it. Does Philip remember? His specific attack is condemnation. It is to do with your sin. In Revelation 12, he's called the accuser of the brethren, and it says that they overcame him. And so when someone has reached the spot of overcoming the evil one, if you were here yesterday and we talked about constantly having your sins forgiven and then how it actually progresses to where you begin to overcome the sin action. You begin to hate the sin so much that when the temptation comes, you actually live by the life of Christ and live through it. So these young men, the strength isn't physical strength, but it's that they've tapped into the new life that they've got, the eternal life, and they've learned to overcome sin. And they've also had so much experience having their sins forgiven that the one who condemns them all the time and brings them into the depression and brings them into not being able to keep going because they feel so bad about their sin or even other things, they've learned to overcome him by the blood. They've learned to overcome him by the word. They've actually learned to experience the new life that they've got to where they can even overcome sin, overcome the problem of sin. Okay, now what I want to get into, though, is how to actually grow to the next stage of wherever you're at. I really think in this room there would be little children. I mean, there may be some that are not yet little children, but there's some little children. I believe we have some young men and women, and I believe we have some that actually are called to enter into the parental stage of growth. You don't have to be a Christian for that long. So, for example, in the Corinthian church, they had been Christians for a few years. And Paul said in the first letter, you all ought to be mature by this spot. You ought to already be mature. They were baby Christians just a few years ago. And then he's saying, you all already ought to be entering into this stage of maturity. So if someone was saved when they're 10, they may in a couple of few years already be at the spot where the Lord's bringing them beyond, if they're walking with the Lord. All right, so let's get to our next spots. And we got bacon, lettuce, and tomatoes, right? Okay. Or however you want to say it. What do you guys like on your sandwich?
I like
candy. Really? What is a candy sandwich? What kind is candy? What kind of candy? Like, what do you use for the... Gummy candy? The whole thing is like a gummy? Does it stick in your teeth? Okay. All right. But you don't, like, mix your candy with your, like, regular meat and stuff. Yeah, that'd be gross. Okay. All right. So here, you can, people call it different things, like exhortation or other things, but I'm just going to say how to grow. And there's a section for each one of these guys. So here's 14a. And he says, right here he says, I write to you. And here he says, I have written to you. Ooh, you ready? So we have fathers. We have young men. And, of course, these are not gender specific. These are just for everyone. This one is from 14b. Here's where the subheading will mess you up. After verse 14, sometimes you have a subheading that says, don't love the world, right? But actually, the don't love the world words are specifically for the young men. So this goes all the way through verse 17. Every one of us can benefit from those words, but when he's trying to say how to grow, those things have to do with growing from a young man to a father. And then here we have the little children. And this is verse 18 all the way through 27. You guys with me?
Yeah.
All right. All right, so let's take these one at a time. He says, I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Now, what is the difference with this? What is it? What happened? What a mess. Philip looks like the troublemaker right now. What did Philip do? Is it to do with your shorts? Okay, no. All right. What's the difference with this one, verse 14a, and then verse 13? Anybody tell? What do you got? I'll read them to you. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. And here's 14a. I've written to you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. What? It really sounds the same, doesn't it? Is anything different?
True.
Okay. You've known him who is from the beginning. Okay, I'm going to put Christ here. Now, he writes to them, and he's written to these guys. When he's like, I've written to you young men, he gives a whole bunch of talk and tells them how to grow. When he writes to little children, he gives the most amount of talk, all the way from verse 18 to 27, and gets into all of this stuff about the Antichrist and these deceivers and so on. But with the fathers, he just says the same thing, except he switched the beginning, like, I write to you, I've written to you. Now, because right here he's talking about how to grow, and up here he's just saying, here are the stages of growth. So why would he say the same exact thing to someone who is mature? If you're trying to say how to grow, and you just describe the person again, it seems like it wouldn't actually help them grow, right? But it actually, to those that are fathers in the faith, that's what would help them grow. For them, when they hear, you've known him who is from the beginning, and then you ask the question, how do I grow? And they say, you've known him who's from the beginning. But how do I grow further? You've known him who is from the beginning. Totally makes sense, right? So here's how it works. Yes, we got a chair for you up front. There is this concept, like in Ephesians 3, of the unsearchable riches of Christ. Or another way to consider it is, like in Philippians 3, he says, I want to know him. And he goes on to say more. In Philippians 3, by the end of his talk about I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and arrive at the resurrection from among the dead, and he says, I'm pressing on towards this goal for this prize of the calling on high. He says, everyone who's mature, the fathers, should think this way. Here's how everyone who's mature should think. I want to know him. But everyone who's mature, by default, they've known him who's from the beginning, right? But what they've touched into with knowing Christ is that there are unsearchable riches of Christ. He is so discoverable that you'll never exhaust your discoveries of Christ. Someone who has known him that's from the beginning wants to know him. Now, we would say, I want to know him more, right? But in this pursuit, you're never like, I don't actually know you at all. But it's like, I know there's so much more to know of him. So with the fathers, personally, what they're doing is pursuing to know Christ more. And once you discover that there is always more to discover, the Christian life gets very exciting. Even for someone who's been through some stages of growth, it's so exciting because every day you can always discover something more of Christ. It's not always about discovering more knowledge, but you can actually discover more of the life of Christ. So the smallest things become exciting for them. As they're abiding in him, it means that they're actually knowing him more. As they're dealing with their sins that are forgiven, you know, the dealing of sins with the Father in the faith sometimes looks a little bit different, and sometimes we might not even call them sins. But for them, it's a lack of Christ, and they want to know him, and they're forsaking all things that are not Christ. So they want to actually know him more. Now, another thing with the fathers is just by their name. For the fathers to go on in growth, they're parents. They're shepherds, so they're actually trying to help the little children. They're trying to care for them. They have what's called the father's love. And they have the love for the younger Christians. So there's something like this. And actually, John mentions it. In second, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear of my children walking in the truth. This is in 2 and 3 John. But he talks about, it's kind of the father type of experience. Where when someone that you're encouraging, someone that you're helping, it doesn't always mean that they're a different age or that they're younger than you physically or even spiritually. But you're caring for God's people. You begin to be like a shepherd. Hey, we got one empty chair up here, if you want. It was for Jacob, but I don't know what happened to the heel grabber. Where'd he go? Is he here? Yeah, he's in some other class, like under the table and grabbing heels. All right. probably. So with these fathers, part of their walk and part of their way forward in growing is that they care for all of God's people to help them grow. Now, it doesn't seem like they're growing in knowledge when they do that, but actually they're growing in the Father's love. And so they get to know Christ more, they get to know the Lord more, and they get to help others come through. They almost basically begin to forget about their own growth process. It doesn't mean that they're not growing, because they're discovering more of Christ. But they're so concerned with the other people of God as well. So it's like if you get to know the Lord enough that you can stand right next to him and say, Lord, what about these people right here? And you begin to pray together with him. Now, why do you guys bless somebody when they sneeze? Oh, is that what happened? So you guys basically just put the soul back in there? Whew. Are you okay? How's your soul? Somebody mentioned like a demon came out of her when she sneezed. Is that what happened? So everyone just cast it out when they said, bless you?
Yeah, I thought it was
your heart.
Thanks,
Kevin. Whew. All right. Or your heart stops, either one. Yeah. All right. That's kind of cool. Wow. An irritation in your throat? So you need to be blessed?
Yes.
Bless that irritation out of there. All right, what about when you hiccup? What's going on with hiccups? Does anybody know? A muscle spasm in my diaphragm? Okay. Why does it happen?
It's like an air bubble.
An air bubble. And you have spasms. Now, why does it help somebody to get out of that if you scare them? Pop. Okay. Do you guys know there's a way to always get out of hiccups? Yes! Did I teach you guys that before? I think so.
No.
I must have taught you. Yeah, you drink it upside down, but it has to go through this lip.
No, my nurse.
You have your own personal nurse?
No.
Okay. Yeah. My wife's grandma taught her that trick, and I wish I had known that when I was younger. Stop breathing is always helpful. Pass out and your diaphragm's all done. Okay, what were we talking about? Were we on young men? Sneezing. Oh, no, fathers, yes. So say you're standing with the Lord. You've been knowing him, and next thing you realize is like you guys are pretty close, and you're beginning to see his viewpoint for the other people of God. Not just his viewpoint towards you and your relationship as you're pursuing to know him, but he starts to show you from his own eyes the people of God. Now, I'd say no matter what stage you're at, the Lord's bringing you into this at least a little bit. You don't have to say, well, I'm not a father in the faith, so I don't need to think about this. He's already bringing all of us into this a little bit, where he starts to show you the heart, sometimes for the world, especially in a parental way or a shepherd's way, you start to see the heart for God's people. So that's what's going on with the Father, and that's actually how to grow. Help others grow and continue to know the Lord more like that. All right, now let's skip down to little children. There's a lot of stuff told to the little children. Now, how do I know this is the little children section? How do I know each section? Well, this one starts with fathers. This one starts with young men. This one actually does start with little children. In verse 18, if you go to that spot, it says, little children, it is the last hour. And this is that paideon word again, right? It only shows up these two times right here. So this is how we know it. This is where the little children's growth helps start right here. All right, now I just want to bring up one thing. Because we want to focus on how to grow from little children on. Through this whole section, he's telling them there's a lot of antichrists. There's a lot of deceivers going out. And you all have the anointing within. You have the Holy Spirit who lets you know when someone's really bad. So let's say you have a teacher get up for class and they're saying, you know what, guys, what I've discovered in the Bible is we don't need to focus on Jesus anymore. We just need to focus on understanding prophecies. And suddenly you're like, oh, you may be in your mind be like, oh, that sounds right because it's the end times. We need to learn what's going to happen and not focus on Jesus because that's the past. Let's say the teacher says this. Now, remember, I am not telling the truth right now, so don't listen to me. But you guys probably have so much young men strength and scriptural knowledge that you're like, that's not right. But actually, let's say you had no Bible knowledge and not much growth. Inside, the anointing would be like, no focus on Jesus, no go. The Holy Spirit within would feel like something's wrong. Basically, almost every time there's a shift away from Christ, from a teacher, a deceiver, you know that it's wrong. A brand new Christian always says amen when there's a whole focus on Christ. Because within, the anointing is like, yes, that's what I'm doing. But when there's something else, even if it's not wrong, but it's anti-Christ-ish, it's draw you away from Christ. A baby Christian has more discernment than a lot of other Christians. We mentioned a little bit yesterday, some of us were talking how as a young kid or a puppy sometimes can know like a bad person or not. Like little kids flock to some people even though they look scary, but because they have kind hearts, little kids just know if someone has a kind heart. And if somebody looks very sharp and clean and smiles and is very nice looking, but no kids will hug them, like, you know that something's wrong with that person. They are creepy. So you just always put about 10 kids in a room with a guy and see what happens. And if the guy's in the corner and the kids are over there, something's wrong with that guy. No, it's not a foolproof thing because some people are just scared of kids. But basically, in the physical realm of ages, this is true. And spiritually, God gives brand new Christians a special extra amount of anointing from the Holy Spirit to have discernment. And this is why a lot of us, after we're growing from the baby stage to another stage, we feel like this is not as fun. Because in the baby stage, everything's really easily fun. The Lord makes everything more bubbly, makes everything a little more joyful, almost draws you into joy more often. And things seem clear. You kind of know God's will sometimes really easily. Whereas as you grow to be young men, it gets to be like something to be discovered more. It's not as easy as it was. So with these little children, you have the anointing. This is probably the biggest thing brought out. He says, you have no need for someone to teach you. Let me just read one part of it so we catch it. Verse 26. These things I have written to you, these are for the little children, concerning those who lead you astray, because this would be one of their biggest dangers, because they don't actually have anything to combat them with as far as scripture or experience. But yourselves, you have the anointing which you've received from him, and he abides in you. And you don't need that anyone should teach you, but the same anointing teaches you in all things, and is true and is not a lie. Even as the anointing has taught you, you shall abide in him. So what they do to grow, they focus on abiding in the Lord, but they focus on the fact that the Holy Spirit is teaching them, is leading them. This is part of their growth because it's a protection. The Holy Spirit protects you from going astray. A problem with a brand new Christian is they may just respect older Christians and say, okay, make me your disciple. But actually, you're not called to be anyone's disciple except Christ. And if you get discipled to Christ, the one that leads you to him constantly is the anointing within. So even if someone is teaching you, it does say you have no need for a teacher, but there are teachers or there's times when you're being taught. And as someone's teaching, what should be happening with all of us is within there's a witness or an agreement or another teaching inside. And it's the Holy Spirit teaching as well. So a teaching comes forth and says, focus on Christ, abide in Christ. And as you hear it inside, the Holy Spirit's like, yes, amen. Focus on Christ, abide in Christ, and you just got taught. But if someone says, focus on prophecies, understand everything to do with the end time, ignore focusing on Christ for now because that's the past. We need to advance. And inside, and in your mind, in your brain, you may be like, okay, I really respect this person and they're such a mature Christian. I guess I should do that, right? But inside, the anointing is like, no. Right? Basically, that's all he has to say. No. That's Antichrist. Now, I'm not saying that's the Antichrist, right? If you're focused on the prophecies, you're like, no, that's not the Antichrist because the Antichrist is like this. It says there are many Antichrists. What he means is not there are many in the future Antichrists. There's actually one guy that rises up as you read in Revelation. But there are many that pull you away from Christ like the Antichrist. Many that would rather be your Christ than the Antichrist. So you watch out for leaders that want you to follow them. You watch out for people that lead you to something else besides Christ. and the anointing actually helps you into this. Now, the other thing that he says here, verse 24, for you, this is the little children, let that which you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. so this is the way to grow. Let that which you have heard from the beginning is different than him that is from the beginning. It has to do with him. It has to do with Christ. But because it's what you have heard, it's actually the word that was shared, the scripture that was shared. It's the word of God. So let the word abide in you. If you let the word abide in you, then you abide in the Son. Now, why would this bring you into the young men stage? Let's look at a further description of the young men in verse 14b, the second part of 14. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. So just a further description of this guy. The word abides in you. This is actually how they overcome the evil one. This is how they are strong. This is how the exhortation that comes to them is to love not the world. This is how they're able to step into that stage, is because they have the word of God. Now remember, the little children, for them to grow to young men, they have to let the word that they heard from the beginning abide in them. As they do that, they have a little bit of God's word, whatever they heard to get them born again. And as the word of Christ abides in you, like it says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of the Christ abide in you. But as this happens, as the word is living within us and we contemplate it, we consider it, the word actually increases. It becomes your experience and you add to it. As you're reading in the word of God, more words come to you very specifically. Of course, we have to read. We have to sometimes memorize. We have to sometimes study a little bit. But while we're doing that, what we're looking for is word that will stay inside of us. So even when we're listening to a message or a sharing, or even right now while we're going through 1 John 2:12-28, these are words of God. But maybe there's one phrase or one section of it that catches your heart's attention. And if that thing, what happened? An explosion? Yes? It's like a chair or a table fell? Okay. But if that word that catches you today, that the Holy Spirit really brings to you, that you want to let abide in you, and you let it remain in you. Even though you may hear all of this concept and you may be able to read this section and say, like, this is the word of God and all of this is kind of there and helpful. But when something abides in you, it means it makes its home right there. It means you're going to obey the word. It means you're going to walk in it. You're going to own it yourself. You receive it from the Lord and it kind of lives there. Now, if you lived in this room right here, you probably would decorate it differently, right? I mean, these decorations have been here for years. I know, because every time I come, I see these decorations, I'm like, oh yeah, the arm of God, they must be talking about the arm of God. Like, and then the next year, I'm like, they can't still be talking about it. I'm like, somebody just decorated and didn't decorate again, right? Like, 5 years, 4 years ago? Right. And then, I mean, now we added a decoration, because we're in here. And this thing right here, this used to be a light, right? A candle thing, but it was like a fake one, because, ow, it electrocutes you. I didn't really get electrocuted. That would have been cool. But if you lived in here all the time, like, what's your bedroom look like? Does anybody have things on their walls in their bedroom?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Okay. Does anybody have things on the floor in their bedroom?
Yeah.
See? Because
yeah.
You live in your room, and she lives in her room, so, of course, the walls are pretty. But the longer you live somewhere, the more it starts to look like you. And the longer the Word of God abides or lives in you, the more you start to look like the Word of God. So that's kind of what happens. So if a baby Christian, knowing the shepherding heart of the Father, knowing the love of the Father, having the anointing to protect them, the way to grow is to let the Word abide in you. Basically, many baby Christians stop because they don't get the Word of God. They don't read the Word of God. They don't memorize, mainly they don't let it live in them. And then you're stuck. And what happens to your life is you get bored. If you've been a baby Christian for a little bit, let's say 3 months, and you've started walking with the Lord for 3 whole months, if the Word of God doesn't start to abide in you, if you don't let this start to happen, you'll notice that your joy decreases. Your walk becomes cloudy. It's because you're supposed to be, as you walk in the light, your light is supposed to increase. But to increase beyond this stage requires the Word of God to abide in you. It requires you to begin to be strong. And the way that you get strengthened as a baby Christian is by the Word of God. So let's take, for example, you've been using the anointing to protect you from those miniature antichrists. But now as the Word of God abides in you, what happens is someone gets up and says this. They say all attention should be on future prophecies and understanding this. But now you remember a scripture from 1 Corinthians 1, and you're just like, but Paul determined to preach nothing but Christ and him crucified to the Corinthians. Or some other scripture comes to you, and you're able to say from the Word of God, not just from the anointing that says, no, that's not right. But instead, the anointing's there, and he's also bringing the Word to your mind. And you say, this is wrong, because it says in Revelation 19 that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. So all prophecy should testify of Jesus. So now you're able to combat the deceivers with the Word of God. You've become strong. And if you don't grow that way, you lose the joyful Christian life. Basically, your walk, you got frozen. You're not stepping, you're just standing. And actually, if you stand, you begin to fall down. Because we have to keep on walking. All right, so let's say we've walked, letting the Word of God abide in us. We've got the anointing, but gradually the anointing is always there. The Holy Spirit's always with us. But gradually, the anointing is also using the Word of God to show you all truth and leading you into all truth. All right, now we're at the young men stage. So with young men, here's what he says. I've written to you, young men, this is verse 14b, and we'll go a little bit further. You are strong, and the Word of God abides in you. And we've already seen this. They're strong, they've overcome the evil one, the Word of God abides in them. All right, now here's the way to grow. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, and here's the description of all the temptations in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. These are not of the Father, but they're of the world. The world is passing in its lust, but he that does the will of God abides for eternity. Did somebody raise their hand? No, you're just stretching. Okay. You're just scratching your ear. Okay, good. Love. Hey. Were you doing singing or something?
What?
Were you helping with the class?
I was taking care of children.
Yeah. What class is it? What age?
0 to 2.
Oh, awesome. Did you change diapers?
No.
Oh, do you know how?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Sorry. What were we talking about?
Love not the world.
Yes. Okay. I'm not going to go into the love not the world talk. Actually, I want to look at it in a unique way this time. I want to see how does this help you grow from a young man to a father. Most of the time when people come to us and say, love not the world, the focus seems to be such a conflict, like you people should not love the world. And then you see this big arena of a fight of loving the world or loving the Lord or something like this. But let's say instead you're walking with the Lord and you want to know, how do I grow into maturity? How do I go on beyond? I actually think this is what helped me to not love the world. I think this is what it was. It wasn't someone saying don't love the world, although he does say it right here. But he doesn't just say don't love the world. He actually describes why not. And here's what he says. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Let's see. I should have used another color sometimes, right? I forgot. All right, so we want to say love of the Father in you. If you're a young man, you've been strong in the Word of God. You've overcome sins. You've overcome the the evil one's condemnation over all of your failures. You've learned to overcome by the blood. And you begin to come into this conflict with the world. And here's why. Because for you to grow into becoming a father, something has to develop in your heart at this stage. You're already strong and you've discovered the overcoming Christian life and Christ living in you. You can overcome your flesh. You can overcome your old life. You can live by the new life. This is a wonderful experience. It's a new joy that a Christian experiences. If you've been at this stage of a little child, Christian, and then you start to let the Word abide in you, and you start to discover things of the Lord, and you start to get strong in the words in you, and the Lord speaking to you through the Scriptures, it's a new type of joy and a new wonderful stage of Christian life. And as you're in this, you begin to live so freely, you feel like the Christian life is so fun now, because I can live the Christian life, like actually live it and not live under the condemnation of my failures. If all you see at a beginning stage are a bunch of rules suddenly, and that don't do this and you need to watch out for that, you're missing the joy of this stage. The joy of this stage is discovering the new life that just doesn't sin. When you discover that new life and you overcome, it's not about the don't do's. It's about discovering how He does. The way Christ lives is He doesn't lie. It's not don't lie. That's under the old covenant, something had to tell you what was wrong just to wake up your conscience. But under the new covenant, we need to be told how the life lives. So that's why Jesus would say stuff like, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, don't even lust with your heart. Don't even look upon a woman to lust after her." Don't even hate somebody with a murderous hate. Sorry, I was thinking of both of them at the same time. The other one was commit adultery, and then the look. But He's showing the inner heart working. Now, why would He do that? Is it to increase your conscience and make you fall down even worse and feel even worse about all your failures? It's actually to show you, now with Christ, life living in us, it's a discovery of how He lives. It's not that you need to not murder someone. It's that the life in you does not have that murderous hatred for someone else. All right, so that's the discovery of a young man. They're in all joy. They're walking that way. They're overcoming. And then they run into a wall. Now, if you're at this stage or partially, I think a lot of us are at like all three stages all the time sometimes. So one of them usually is larger than the other. So as I'm talking, probably like, "Oh, I'm at that stage." And then you're like, "Oh, I'm at that stage." And you're like, "Oh, I'm at that stage." And it's probably true. In a way, you're touching on all three at the same time, but one of them is usually larger and you need to be growing into the next one in a more focused way. But at this stage, as you discover the overcoming life, and you're like, "Yes, this is awesome." For a short period of time, you want nothing else but just to live by the life of Christ. And you're abiding in Him, and His life is abiding in you. And this discovery brings you further and further on. And suddenly, though, you hit this wall of the world. More than you do when you're first saved. More than at any other stage. Because now the attack of the world is to keep you from growing to the Father stage. And here's what the world does. It takes away your love for the little children. The love of the Father is replaced by the love of the world. If you're going to mature to be a father, you're going to actually love the people of God and care about the people of God. But if you have 1 hour free today, in this afternoon, let's say you have 1 hour free, and you're a young man, and you're strong in the Word, and you've even done your disciplines for the day, you had a good morning time, and you've done your Bible reading, and everything's okay, there's nothing wrong. You have the free hour. The temptation doesn't come to sin. The temptation... Oh. Who is it? All right. See ya. Are you in trouble? All right. Let's see ya. What's up? Is she doing some dancing thing?
She's doing a school musical.
Okay. So does she dance at the musical?
No.
Oh. Just sings, so she probably won't break a leg. All right, what were we talking about? Yes, I'm with you. All right, so this afternoon, this is probably going to happen to every one of us. You've got maybe hours free this afternoon, unless you're in a play. So you run into this choice, and this is all that the world wants. It doesn't want you to sin. Per se. Like, of course, if you can sin, all the better. But what the world's temptation is just to take the place of your heart of love. If you've got the free time, and now not out of a law and not out of a rule, your free time is your free time, but you have the choice at that spot as a young man to say, "Lord, I want to be with you in this free time. What do you want to do? You may do some of the same stuff. But if instead you're just like, hey, I got free time, let me just do whatever I want to do, and you get pulled into some distraction, the Lord can't say, remember that friend of yours this morning from the class, and you noticed something was going on wrong, or you guys talked, and you know what's happening with them? I want you to pray for them. Basically, the world sucks up all of your prayer energy, all of your prayer time, and all of your ability to care enough to contact somebody and see how they're doing. If somebody is not walking with the Lord, who's going to help them? It'll probably be you. If you begin to have the parent's heart for the people of God, the shepherd's heart, and if the Lord is giving his love inside of you, he wants to put his love for his people. Notice it's the love of the Father, not just the I love God or the love relationship. It's actually that you're going to love the people of God and you're going to care for them. So if you're a young man dealing with the world, you are already equipped. The equipment that you need to not love the world is the Word of God. So the way that you overcome the temptations is by using the scriptures that's within you. That's how Jesus overcame the world's temptations in the wilderness. And that's how it happens with always overcoming the world. If the Word of God is in you, young men can do this. At the baby stage, they couldn't overcome the world, but actually the world's not attacking you as much as sin and as much as the condemnation of Satan. But at this stage, the world comes in full force to keep you from growing into loving the people of God. Now, if in the free time you give the time to the Lord, you will find that your free time will get used up by the Lord in a great way. And the joy and the love for God's people begins to be something. Once this starts to happen and the love of the Father gets to dwell in you and you get to love the Lord's people, you never get bored the rest of your life. It's the complete solution for boredom, is begin to get on the side of the Father and care for his people. And then you never run out. Whether it's contacting or fellowshipping or spending the time, or whether it's preparing to have some equipment to actually help someone. You begin to read books, not just for your own pursuit to know the Lord, but half of it is for that. But you also begin to learn things, reading books or reading and studying in the Bible, extra for someone else. You begin to go through hard times, not just for your own growth. You're like, Lord, why am I going through this? And how are you teaching me through this? But you realize a lot of your difficulties and a lot of your sorrows are for other people. You begin to fellowship in the sufferings of the Lord. He suffered not because of his sins. And he didn't suffer because he needed to know the Father any closer. Like, he had the deepest possible knowledge of the Father. But he suffered for our sakes. And so as a young man growing into the Father stage, as the love of the Father begins to be in us, the sufferings for other people begin to happen. The losing our time on purpose because we love others begins to happen. Now, let me explain this as a father. In the physical realm, as a parent, because we usually don't think about this until we're in the 20s and 30s or we start to have kids. We don't actually think about our parents. We don't think about what our parents have gone through. But if you would stop and think on the outside of you and your parents and just look at your parents for a moment and just shrink yourself down to stage maybe one or zero and think about the diaper changing. And then look at your parents today when you see them and just like, she changed my diaper. Some of the dads do too. I do. And remember that they held you and they picked you up. And remember that they lost sleep because of you. You cried in the middle of the night. Now, some parents just, they'll never get the crying baby. But you have to check a little bit. Go ahead.
I don't remember until I was
six. I know. So you're going to have to use your imagination, right? Yeah. You don't remember yourself, but your parents do. Right? And maybe they have pictures of you. I don't know. not me. Camera broke for 6 years. But put yourself in your parents' shoes. Those years taking care of a little baby, they lost their lives. If your parents had never had you, they would have had so much free time. They would have watched so many more movies. They could have played so many more games. They could have gone rock climbing and a lot more vacations because they wouldn't have spent the money on your diapers or your clothes or your food or whatever. They would have had so much more fun for themselves. But if you ask your parents, was it worth having kids? Almost every parent, I say almost because some parents are just messed up. I think every parent of yours would say, I would do it again. Because the love, what's that? I asked so many parents, they would all say it.
My mom goes, no more.
She might say no more, but they're always glad, the kids that they've had. If they, this is what happens though. The Lord did this, it happens with unbelievers. This isn't even a Christian thing. This is a parent thing. It's built into the human race, the way God created us. The parent loves this kid who takes up all of their time, all of their effort, all of their tears, all of their everything. But the love of a parent is in them. The love of the father is in you. This is what God wants to do with us for his people. So even, now the saddest part for parents is when we become teenagers. And why would this be the saddest time? It's not always the saddest time. It's not sad if you can fellowship with your parents. It's not sad if you continue to honor them and respect them. It's not sad if we appreciate them. The saddest part is when we don't appreciate them at all. They've gone from the cute stage, because we stop being cute by like, what age? Like 8 or something, I don't know. I mean, it's once your teeth change, right? Once the teeth change, which happens to some of us like 6 or 7 or 8, once the teeth change, then the face starts to look like a kid instead of a toddler, right? The toddler faces are so pinchable. But the kid faces are like a little bit more trouble. And so once we start to grow the adult teeth, suddenly everything's changed. And you're maturing, and it's really fun in that you can do more stuff. We can go jogging together. We can do all kinds of stuff together. And you can talk on such an intelligent level with your parents. And really there's an inner joy all the way through until you become adults, until you're having your own kids. And they've always held this treasure of love of a parent for their kids. But at the teen stage, all of us do this accidentally. We begin to lose respect for our parents. Because you get smarter than your parents, right? You get smart enough. You get smart enough to know in your thinking and everything like that. And they're used to you being so cute and pinchable. And now they're having to meet you as an adult. They're like, you're pinchable, but you're an adult. And like, they kind of, it's a transition for the parents. And the love is still there. And then, but then there begins to be arguments. Or there begins to be a lack of respect. And the sorrow starts to be there. And brokenheartedness happens. And this is the love of the Father in someone. Even for the people of God. When you begin to care for the people of God, you begin to touch into the sorrow of God for his people. You begin to pray for somebody who won't walk with the Lord or who's rejecting him. And sometimes you actually have tears, not for yourself and your problems, but tears for this person who would not receive the love of the Father. Tears for the people of God. You can see how, yes, a lot of your time and energy and effort is replaced from being selfish to being selfless. But actually with doing that, you begin to know him that is from the beginning. You begin to know Christ and fellowship in his sufferings. You begin to know the power of his resurrection life. You begin to know him so intimately, the way that he laid down his life for all the world, you begin to lay down your life also for the people of God. And so this is the thing that's trying to happen. I think everybody in here has probably a little bit of this happening. It's been really neat seeing you guys at different conferences or even coming here. I almost know the story of everyone in here. I look around. Almost everybody, I think, in some way or another. Sometimes I've been there and seen some really great things happen. But by this spot, there should be developing in all of us a love of the Father that's bringing us to actually start to care for the people of God. So most in this room are mature enough or being called into the maturity to actually focus on other believers now a little bit. Are you guys fighting back there? Okay. Are you guys just caring for him? Is that what happened? They're like patting him on the back or something? Yeah. But, okay, so everybody just look around at everybody right now. Just stare at everybody just really quick. And look at least 3 people. Okay. All right, now close your eyes real quick. Okay. Now just imagine that one of those people that you looked at, the Lord would actually call you to pray for them regularly. I'm not trying to create that or say that, but I say probably in your heart, maybe not someone in this room, but you know someone. Okay, you can open your eyes. Some of you guys are cheating. You're already opening your eyes. But you know someone that the Lord's put on your heart to pray for, a believer. Of course, you might also be praying for an unbeliever. But I say this is your spot. And if you start to do that, not only will you overcome the world because of the word that's in you, the moment of temptation, you use the scripture to combat that temptation. I think that's usually used when the temptation is tempting you to do something that you almost know is a sin. But how do you love not the world? How do you overcome the love of the world? It's not just to overcome the temptations with the Word of God. It's actually to replace that love with the love of the Father. So why do you struggle so much to overcome the world? It's because you're only fighting with the Word of God, if you are fighting that way. The thing that we haven't been doing is we haven't been loving the Lord's people, and we haven't been brought into the love of the Lord's people enough to replace the love of the world. Does this make sense? Are you guys with me? Okay. All right, now the last thing. Sandwiched in here are the... Remember, we're talking about walking. As we're walking and increasing in the measure of our light. We grow from little children, young men, fathers. But as we're walking, there are these two things that we're always taking a bite of. We are always taking a taste of our sins are forgiven for His name's sake. Always, whatever stage you're at, fathers, young men, little children. If you leave off this, you get out of the walk in the light, obviously. So if you feel like you've matured beyond having your sins forgiven, you're in the path of darkness and you've deceived yourself. This is what we talked about the last couple of days. But the other part is this abiding in Him. So if He shows up right now, if you're abiding in Him, you would not be ashamed. So here is your test this moment and the next day and all of the time is if I'm manifested before Him, this is what it says in verse 28, that we wouldn't be ashamed from before Him when He comes. So let's say right now, your sins are forgiven. If you abide in Christ, are you... Oh, can I get you guys' attention just a little bit? You with me? Okay. Are you at the spot right now that if you met the Lord right now, you're okay? You're not ashamed. You don't look down. So everybody stare at me just for a second, and let's do a stare down. Now, I'm not the Lord, right? But if I stare you down, who looks away first? Now, you guys are awesome. And some of you won't even smile. Okay, ready? Don't smile. Okay, I think you win. You're really good. Philip, you just look like you're smiling. All right, nobody smile? Oh, you guys. Okay, smile. You can smile. Relax. You don't have to look at me now. Just look at my something else. Not the Band-Aid, though. Oh. All right. If right now, though, you were to stare at the Lord that way, do you look away? Or can you stare at Him? Even He shows you whatever's going on in your heart, whatever you're not walking in. But as you don't look away, even though you have to deal with it and apologize, or you have to say, okay, I'll walk that way. Okay, I'm ready to go to the next stage, or I'm ready to go to the next stage, or I'm ready to start doing that. And then you can continue looking at Him. If you continue looking at Him, if you pass away, or the Lord returns, or whatever time your timing is to meet Him, and you meet Him, you're not ashamed face to face because you've been looking at Him the whole way in your walk. There was a man of God I met. His name was Derek Prince. And I usually am pretty good at staring people down, right? And when I was not a Christian, I did stare downs, like, in a mean way. Like, me and my gangster guys. Like, you know, have you ever heard somebody say to you, like, what are you looking at, right? Like, why are you looking at me? Or you've maybe seen people act like this, like we were those guys. So this is from, like, middle school on. We walk around the neighborhood, and somebody would be walking by, we'd look at them. And if they looked at us, we'd be like, what are you looking at, right? This is so bad. We were those guys that stare people down. They look away and try to. And, of course, I wasn't that tall, but I had two really tall guys next to me. And they were, like, big. And so I could look, and at least they had my back, right? So I'd go around looking at people like that. And this is just bad. But then I got saved, and I never did that again. I don't mind to look away from somebody if they want to be more scary than me. But this one brother, I looked at him. We were at a meal or something. And he's a minister of the word and kind of famous. He has books out and stuff. But I was sitting there, and he wasn't talking. Very quiet. He's elderly. But he could talk. It wasn't like he was mentally gone. But I noticed he was looking at me at the table. So I looked at him for a second. You know, normally you might say something and not be awkward. But I was like, no, this is a man of God. I'm just going to stare at him. So I stared at him, and he stared at me, and I felt like his eyes went right through my eyes into my heart. And I think it was something the Holy Spirit was doing with me, but as I stared at him, I was like, ooh. I didn't make any expressions like, ugh, you know. But I was looking at him, and then eventually I was like, oh. I looked away. You know why? Because I didn't feel as bold before the Lord as I could have felt. And my looking down, I was like, Lord, I see what's wrong. And I actually had a dealing with the Lord. And as he stared at me, and he actually, I felt like he stared into my heart. And I had to look away. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't look away from the Lord. I actually, in my looking away from that person, because that would have been really awkward if I kept staring, you know. But I looked away, and I was like, I started to stare at the Lord. And as the Lord kept staring at me, we had some dealings. And he brought me into the next stage of where I should be and actually helped me through. So that's the way. If you're abiding in him, you won't be ashamed in front of him. That's one of the things to check on. So I want to pray for us. Especially, I hope you catch the emphasis today is, if you are walking in the light, you're... Lord, we just want to quiet our hearts right now and focus our eyes on you and the attention of our hearts just to behold you and to see you. Lord, if we're ashamed from before you right now, we pray you would stare further down into our hearts and show us what things we need to do. Lord, we pray that those fiery eyes wouldn't be something we turn away from. But right now, we fix our eyes on you, Lord. We pray that you would reveal yourself to us. And Lord, we want to come back to you and have our sins forgiven, but especially be close to you and abiding in you. And if there's something that you're calling us to walk in, Lord, we pray that that word, that specific thing would stay in our hearts right now and would abide in us and dwell and make its home there that we can walk in it. Lord, I pray for everyone in here that knows the spot where they should go into. Especially pray for everyone in here that should be praying for others or caring for others or growing faster in order to help others. Lord, I pray you would raise up those that would work next to you, that would stand beside you for the people of God and even serve together in your house and care about the church and care about the things that you care about. Lord, I pray all of the love of the world that's upon us, all of those temptations and other things, that you would expose it for what it is and really replace it with the love of the Father in us. Just commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.